You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, this is Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars on a Wednesday. Welcome to the show. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. What's going on, man? What's going on with you people today? Nothing much here with me, but just chilling. Wondering what the Jaguars are doing. I mean, like right now. Like right now, what are they up to? And I know people ask me all of that. Why hasn't he announced the staff yet, man? Why hasn't Urban announced the staff? And what are they up to? And what's the first thing that they're going to do? So we're going to take a wild guess today and talk about some things that they're doing right now, right this minute. How are they helping the football team? What are the things that you believe, that we believe that they're doing right now that's setting the foundation for this team moving forward? I got some ideas as to what that is. Also, there are some players in the draft that fit needs physically, and there are other players that fit temperamental-wise, emotionally. Guys that you could imagine them bringing their sauce, if you will, to Jacksonville and allowing the Jaguars to take on a part of their personality or really embed a part of their personality into the overall personality of the team. What do those guys look like? How do they play? Do they have a certain type of chip on their shoulder? Yep, they do. I'm going to point a couple of those guys out to you. I did a mock draft yesterday, and I'm not going to get too deep into it because, you know, I am going to kind of get a little bit deep into it because you do these mock drafts every single day, and they start to change based on how you feeling that day. How you feeling that day and how the list change and what site you did it on. I went to a little bit of a different site and I did another mock draft and I got the name or two of certain players that I believe have certain characteristics, and I actually watched some tape on them too. So I'll bring those guys up in segment two. And then in segment three, we'll tie it all together like we do with some news and notes. Also, take a peek around the division, even though I think the goal is championships. We'll take a peek around the division, and when we look around the division, we'll start to assess and look at where that little bit of a hole or gap is that's being created for the Jaguars to penetrate and be at the top of this division instead of being at the bottom. All of that stuff on today's edition of Locked On Jaguars, which is brought to you by Rock Auto. This episode by Rock Auto. So let's get into it. I ain't going to bury the lead no more, man. Let's jump and dive right into it and answer that question. What the hell they got going on over there, man? What is Urban and Trent Baalke and that entire staff up to? I mean, right now as we speak, are they coaching each other? Is Urban trying to still tell him what he expects? Are they breaking tape, looking at past Jaguars tape, giving eval for their own players to see where they're strong and where they're weak and who can help them so they can start setting up a board? Are they looking at college tape? Are they looking at pro tape? What are they doing? Are they just taking the information from the scouts in the pro side and the college side who are already here doing all of the work and just running with it? There's some continuity there, and I want to touch on that. Trent Baalke, he was the GM last year. He worked with these guys all of last year, so he understands their capabilities, and they ought to know what he's looking for. So what that does is that cuts a little bit of the layer out. Baalke and Urban Meyer have to be on the same page. So the scouts basically have to be on the same page with Baalke. So that's that little bit of glue, and maybe that gives you an idea of why, one of the reasons why it was so favorable for them to keep Trent Baalke, because when new coaches get hired, they traditionally don't come in. You have to understand the timing. They're not going to fire an entire scouting department because where would they replace them from? The other scouts are working. The ones that are working for other teams. right? So they're going to make a lateral move to come work for you? No, it doesn't work that way. So any scout that's already working, he's working for somebody else. He ain't working for you. And you're going to bring in a bunch of scouts who were just out of work to tell you what you need to do in about a month or two in both the pro department as well as the college department. You can't do that. So that's why all these coaches, they come in and they keep the staff. They lay expectations down on the staff. They tell the staff what they want. It's made a little bit easier here because Baalke was here. Trent Baalke was here last year, the GM. So it makes it a little bit easier. There's some continuity there. Obviously, the way that they were reporting and the way that they were scouting, I had a buddy who used to do this. I had two of them, actually. And coaches require, some people and coaches and general managers require different things. Some folks want the reports done certain ways. Some want the reports earlier. Some people want you to set your board up, and then what happens is, okay, you switch files with that scout and give him your stuff, and they put fresh eyes on it, and they do what's called sort of a cross-referencing of information to see if they can come to some sort of consensus or if someone sees the same thing that you see. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this, but whatever way that Urban Meyer wants to do it and Trent Baalke wants to do it, there should already be some continuity. So one of the good things is you don't have new GM, new coach trying to figure out the scouting department, and they're all trying to get to know each other. Those guys pretty much know each other already. So as much of a challenge as that is, and you can imagine it could be, you know that right now there's a little bit of familiarity, so it makes it a little bit of a smoother transition. But I would suspect that those guys are working around the clock, because there's a lot of cap space in Jacksonville. There's free agency comes before the draft. And I know most people, and even Trent Baalke has hinted at it, that the draft is how you build your team and free agency is how you supplement it. Free agency, though, when a new coach takes over, can be a way to really, really – it's almost like the transfer portal. You can kind of put a quicker stamp or sort of have a quicker imprint on the team based on the kind of guys that you can go out and get that you don't really have to develop. They're already developed. They're developed, proven players. So you can go out and get guys to really fortify certain positions and add certain things to your football team. Now, when you think about that, here's where you want to start with that. Now, this is where you look at the connections in terms of the coaches. Where did they come from? Who are they going to stand on the table and say, we need that guy? And it's not just because of those players' talents. It's because of those players' familiarity with the coach that you just hired. Think about it. You hired him for a reason. The reason you hired him is because you obviously saw something in the way that he was doing things that you liked, right? So who was he doing it with? He was doing it with guys that he's familiar with. If you like what he was doing, then obviously that would lead you to think that you might like some of the guys that he was doing it with, right? And that's where you start looking at Joe Cullen, and you start looking at Baltimore. You look at their front seven. And you don't even have to stop there, even though he was the defensive line coach. He can vouch for a guy on offense. He can vouch for Orlando Brown and say, yeah, we couldn't get past that guy in practice. Go ahead and make a trade for him. Would you trade the 25th pick overall for Orlando Brown and still have to pay him and start him at left tackle? I damn sure think about it if I'm Jacksonville, because he's young and he's proven he could play, right? And he seems like the kind of guy that you want, a big, strong, physical, nasty guy with a predisposition like that. It would seem like that would be something that you would think about, right? Well, you'd have no better person than Joe Cullen, who was right there in the building with that kid, to tell you what he's made of. Those are the things that you have to think about and consider when you wonder, what are they doing right now? They're evaluating their own team. They're evaluating the pro personnel from around the league. And they're also, the college scouts are getting all of their reports together and getting ready for Urban Meyer. There's also a small advantage as we get ready to head and cross over to our second segment. And I'll finish this on the other side. There's a small advantage of Urban covering the college game so much and being around the coaches in the meetings and going to practices at the end of the week and watching so many games. A big advantage. We'll talk about that here on a Wednesday as we continue with Locked On Jaguars. Remember the name Rock Auto, rockauto.com. It is where you can go and should go to get all of your car parts and accessories, no matter what type of vehicle you have. rockauto.com can definitely help you take care of that automobile, even if it's just an accessory. It does not matter. All parts and all accessories are at rockauto.com. Now, here's the thing. They're going to bring them to your door. You don't have to go stand in a chain store, for one. Two, you're not going to pay those high prices. You're going to get the same price that a professional would get by going to rockauto.com. It's a great, great company. Two decades, 20 years of doing this, and this is what you can get done by going to rockauto.com. And when you go on rockauto.com, they're going to ask you, how did you hear about us? I want you to write Locked On in their how did you hear about us box, so that they know that we are the ones who sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, we're continuing this conversation wondering, what are they doing? People keep wondering, when are they going to announce the staff, man? They haven't even announced the staff yet, man. What's going on? Well, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And this is the part of it that those guys really, really love. I'm sure Urban Meyer has really, really sunk his teeth into all of this, into the building aspect of it, into the program aspect of it. I bet he's met with the strength conditioning coach. I bet they've talked about nutrition. I bet he's met with the executive chefs about what they're going to put in these guys' bodies every day. All of the meetings that you can imagine, the things that aren't the stuff that we celebrate and the stuff that we find sexy, that is what's going on right now with the Jaguars organization. And the beauty of free agency and the tampering period, and normally the combine and the private workouts, is what that does is it gives you an idea as to what they're thinking, even if that's if you believe everything you see. Because sometimes they'll go to a workout and they have no intention of drafting the guy. We've talked about that in the past, how players have said that they went to interviews at the combine and the team that picked them is the team that didn't even interview them, because they were just trying to throw – they were trying to kind of like throw a diversion at folks. And there was – teams that interview guys that never pick them. And so many guys have told those stories about, you know, teams that didn't even come to their workout, and then that team drafted them at the top of the second round. And it's all like, you know, they're trying to fool people. But even with that, you know, usually it gives you something, it gives you a base to go on. Do you believe it or do you not believe it? They're looking in this direction, they're looking in that direction. I missed the part of that process where you'll wonder, like, even if it's a team that has a quarterback, like, say, let's just pretend Deshaun Watson was not unhappy in Houston, right? And Houston staff would go watch Trevor Lawrence's workout. They know they ain't going to take Trevor Lawrence. You know why they're there? They're wanting to see what Trevor Lawrence can do and what he can't do close up. They want to see that little throw that he does and doesn't make at the hash mark, so that they can say, he doesn't do that well. And that's what I've always told you guys over the years that these teams do. They get a book on you. And they figure out a way to try to force you to do the thing that you don't want to do, or the thing that you do good the least. So, yeah, it's just a matter of the evaluation process always gives us a little bit of a clue as to what these teams are doing or what their mindset is. And we don't have that this year, so it's going to be totally different. And, you know, we're all making adjustments to whatever our new normal is, but we just don't have that. You're not going to have that combine. You're not going to have all those workouts. It's going to be really, really secretive. And really, this is going to be about what the coaches and the talent evaluators are able to come up with by just watching tape. And some people might say that that's a good thing. Some people might say there was too much paralysis by analysis in the past, and that you really do have to do just tape work in order to see what's going on, because the tape doesn't lie. I do think the most important part, though, for this team, and we discussed this, is fit. Fit. Who's going to buy in to be a football-playing Jesse? Who's going to buy in to whatever structure or whatever type of program that Urban Meyer is building? And it's very, very important that you get guys that want to be here. It's very, very important that you get guys who want to be here because they love the football culture. And I don't think that that was the case in the past. In the past, I think people thought that just because guys made a lot of money and just because they were a bunch of young cats and, you know, it was cool to say Duval and they're the big thing in town, that's enough to keep these guys together. And I never thought it was, and I still don't subscribe to that. I think young millionaires love discipline too. I think they love discipline. I think they love structure. I think they love order. And more than anything, I think they love winning. And when you love winning and that winning is attached to the order and the discipline, they buy in. They absolutely buy in. They bought into Tom Coughlin the first year. And it seemed like for some reason it didn't translate or transition to the second year in 2018. And there were a number of reasons why it could have been that way. I don't think this regime is going to have that problem. I really don't. I think this will be player-centric. Shad asked for a coach-centric team. I think it will be coach-centric, but I think it'll be player-centric because it's coach-centric. I think that it'll be a player's team, but it'll be disciplined. And it'll be a guy who wants guys to run through a brick wall for him, and he'll do anything for those guys who want to run through that brick wall. That's exactly the way that I think this is going to be. So maybe those are the type of guys that they're looking for. And based on the personality of some of the coaches that have been put on this staff, I think they're looking for tough guys. I think they're looking for a bunch of guys in the front seven that can move around and run. I think they're looking for playmakers on offense. Knowing Urban, he wants speed. He wants to play fast. You got to get guys that protect Trevor. And you also got to give Trevor some outlets. Tight ends that catch the ball. Speaking of which, I did a mock draft yesterday, and I told you guys I was going to give you a couple of names, and I am. So I'm pulling that information up right now. I'm going to give you guys a couple of names, and it's not one or two of them are familiar, but it's not really the same status quo names that we've seen today. There are some names that are a little bit different. Something else I got to remind you of here on the lot. On Podcast Network, we're covering everything you need to know about the Jaguars and everyone else, but what about all other sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. Let me tell you what Locked On Today is. It's a wonderful show hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcast. Peter's my guy, man, and he does a super, super job with Locked On Today. So here's what we want to go over, and that's some names. We've talked about, okay, making a team that has a certain identity, right? We've talked about what are they doing over there and how I think they're scouring and they're trying to find guys. They're using familiarity, and they're also using the tape. And they're using everything that they know about these guys to find guys that want to be here and be a part of this foundation and be a part of this organization that want to play for Urban Meyer and play with Trevor Lawrence. So I'm going to go over some names for you guys. And there's some different names. One or two of them may be familiar. But I'm going to go over some names for you guys. Yesterday I did a mock, another mock. Of course, Trevor was first. But I'm going to mix this in and blend this in with some free agents and even the trade scenario that I just mentioned to you guys. And I'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you about BetOnline, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline.ag even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get your welcome bonus. Okay, man. It's Wednesday here on Locked On Jaguars, trying to figure out what are they doing, what's going on, what are they thinking. Everybody's chomping at the bit about what type of players they're going to add, what type of environment is it going to be, because we're talking so much about culture and we're talking so much about identity. I'm going to tell you one identity that I'm very familiar with, and that's Locked On NFL. I have a Wednesday show that's out today, but there's a Thursday show, too, on Locked On NFL. There's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday show. But Thursday show, it's a must-listen because Ryan Tracy and Jake Liskow break down teams across the NFL from an analytics and team-building perspective. Get the expert analysis on your favorite teams from Ryan and Jake every Thursday. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcast. Okay, so I did give you this scenario. We already know that it's Trevor Lawrence with a bullet, right? So I gave you this scenario that what if the Jaguars and the Ravens were able to make out a trade? Would it be enough to trade a number one pick, the second overall number one pick that you have, the 25th overall pick to the Ravens for Orlando Brown? Would that be enough? Or would you have to give up a third round pick also next year? Since they're just throwing draft picks around for players now like it ain't funny. And then look into giving Brown that extension that he wants, either now or later. I think it would be worth it. It's definitely worth something. It gives you a young left tackle to protect your quarterback with. You save the money that you don't have to pay Cam Robinson, who, if you think Orlando is a better player than Cam, which I do, you don't have to go ahead and pay Cam Robinson for 1 year with the franchise tag while you draft another guy. And then this leaves room for you to actually draft another guy who can play both right and left tackle to be a swing guy or someone who could push Juwan Taylor on the other side, because we know competition is where it's at, and we need guys who can compete, and we need guys that can do a whole bunch of different stuff and be versatile. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. Now, I'll tell you what I came up with yesterday also. The Jaguars have a couple of second-round picks as well. So what I came up with yesterday was this. I doubled down again on the offensive line. At the top of that second round, if he's there, I take Wyatt Davis. Wyatt Davis, I decided to go a different route because I wanted to see if I could get all of these picks in. So Wyatt Davis, a guard out of Ohio State, who played right guard at Ohio State, and it gives you a surefire way, especially if you don't address right guard in free agency. It's good for you to go ahead and do it now. So, look, if you get Orlando Brown and Wyatt Davis to go with the other guys you already have, and then you're probably going to look at taking another tackle at some point in this draft since this draft is loaded, I think that'd be great. One guy I really like on take is Pat Freiermuth, and look, the Jaguars hired the Penn State tight end coach. You don't think he's going to stand on the table for his guy? I love him on tape. It's just that, do you wait? Do you pick him early? Do you take him and try to get the guard later or the other interior lineman later? I think, it's something that you really, really have to look at. A linebacker that I really like, I think his stock is going to shoot through the roof, but it's a guy who's a combo linebacker. He can play coverage. He can also play outside linebacker. It's that versatility that we talk about. And when I watch his tape, he reminds me a little bit of Fred Warner from San Francisco. And that's Jabril Cox from LSU. Love his range. Love his ability to cover. What I love most about him is his ability to run sideline to sideline. And I can just envision him at some point with Miles Jack being what you saw in Tampa, being what you can see on these other teams when you have guys that can float the ball sideline to sideline. Another guy on this particular board that I saw fall was Edge Joseph Asai, who's from Texas. He just reminds me of another one of those guys from Baltimore. He's like 6'4", 260 pounds, 255, 260, can run like the wind, can tackle, can play in space, also has versatility, can play in and out. Here's my fun part, Dwayne Eskridge, wide receiver out of Western Michigan. I'm trying to give you some different names. On this particular draft, my man Marquez Stevenson was gone. He went to the Colts in the second round of this particular mock draft, and that's as high as I've seen him. So we had to come back in the third round and get Dwayne Eskridge. I'm going to give you a couple of other names, and I'm not going to browbeat the rest of this draft too much, but I think they need to address the defensive line position. Tadarius Slayton from Florida, another big guy who can eat up space. He can also be a nose, and then he could probably two-gap a little bit for you the way Joe Cullen wants to play. A big, big kid from Florida, 350 pounds, is very disruptive. I like the safety, Jacoby Stevens, the hard-hitting safety from LSU. And then there are two other guys that may be there in round five, and Tutu Atwell and Amari Rodgers. I doubt if both of them are there because of the premium that's being put on speed. But, yeah, so say you add those guys, and then in free agency you go after Marcus Williams, a safety from New Orleans. You get a veteran tight end like Jonnu Smith to go along with Freiermuth. And then you start to see how they'll insulate Trevor Lawrence and give him the ability to get the ball out of his hand quick. And you can see him in 12 personnel with two tight ends, or you can see him going with three wide receivers with a single back with a lot of versatility. I'm going to be interested to see, too, how they are able to use Laviska Shenault in the game at the same time with James Robinson. It's just going to be fun to watch Urban and this staff come together and try to develop some sort of chemistry, some sort of identity. That'll explain what the hell they're doing over there right now, because nobody knows. They're not announcing anything. Everything's quiet. So we can only guess and try to come to the conclusions of what they're doing. Well, when free agency starts and when the draft process starts a little bit closer, you'll get your answer and you'll know exactly what they were up to and how they were trying to shape this team. So tune in tomorrow, man. We'll have more for you here. It's a hump day. Remember, I have another show out on Locked On NFL with James Rapine on a Wednesday show. Check that out, too. And subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned, man. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com. It's your daily podcast here, Locked On Jaguars, because it's your team every day. We're just trying to have a little fun and tie all of this stuff together during a quiet period. But I appreciate you guys sticking with us every single day here. And hopefully I make these podcasts because I take a culmination of your questions and I kind of throw them all in one big pot. And I try to say as much as I can that'll answer those questions for you without me having to type on Twitter all day. So for Tony Wiggins, please tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with more from Locked On Jaguars. Take care.